This is the Valley Outdoors, and we are glad to have you guys with us today. Lots of fun to talk about. We're going to be talking a little bit about that century mark win on the Elite Series Bass Tournament Circuit. Amazing, and I know the kid, amazing kid who did it, and pretty much outstanding if you ever had a chance to watch it. How to pick spinner baits is another one coming up, Don. And, of course, I always love to bring up a catfish story or two when you're right in the house. You like that?
I do.
Stay tuned. More Valley Outdoors coming right up. Ashkenam Resort on Ash River in northern Minnesota is a destination you're looking for. Ashkenam offers everything for the angler or family vacation with access to Lake Cabotogama, Namekin Lake, and the gateway to Voyageurs National Park. Thousands of acres of clean, refreshing water all available to you. This is your destination for your next fishing trip or family vacation. Check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Do I need to say walleyes, northern pike, and crappies?
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Good to see you, Donald.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Ava?
Always good to be here.
Happy mama?
Yeah. Not yet.
Getting close.
Well, getting awfully close, yeah.
You're getting there. Got a couple hanging out waiting to jump into the world.
Yes.
That's awesome.
LaRue 2.
Exactly. Oh, wow. She just came up with that. Pretty inventive, I have to admit. So, Don, you been out fishing lately?
You know, I haven't.
That sucks.
I know it. I just haven't. I'm planning a trip here next month. Try to go north of the border again. We'll do it by air this time.
Well, I know I've got some buddies up Lake of the Woods. That's on fire right now. Literally, it's unbelievable.
Right. You know, I did talk to an outfitter that has a camp just into Canada. You literally have to go on a boat portage to get there. You've been in that water in Loon Lake.
Yep.
And it has really caused a problem for the camp. Not so much the camp, but getting there, the high water has literally washed out the boat portage. So that all has to be rebuilt. The docks.
So to give people an idea of a boat portage, what we're talking about here is a rail or a wheel system that works where you drive your boat up onto this piece. It's like a trailer. And once it's on, you power up as it starts to move, and then it settles onto this trailer, and it pulls you up over a landmass area. And then, of course, the ropes running underneath it also slow it down from going back down into the water. You go down back into the water bow first, and you continue on your way. So it's a shuttle kind of thing going on. But they are very susceptible if they have high water scenarios because they're reliant on the established tracks, et cetera, that are there, and that's a big problem.
Right. Well, and the water's still up.
Yep.
You know, it hasn't
receded
any, and I'm concerned because I'm planning to go back up there in September again, and I'm hoping that the water has receded by that point, but it doesn't look like it's going to be the case.
Yeah, that whole watershed's a real issue.
There's a lot of water up there. Wow.
think of the woods, etc.
We're talking 5 feet higher than normal.
I know.
It's a lot of water on a body of water that size.
Talking with Chris Granrud, you're talking to docks. They put a drum full of water in a dock, and then the drum's underwater. They have to add rocks on top of the drums to keep the drums on
the outfitter I was at, he was putting all of his spare boats on top of the dock, filling the boat full of water. And then the boat floated away, so then they put a 1,000-gallon tank inside the boat and filled that up with water. Now, that was holding it down when I left. But it's going to be such a mess to clean back up and then try to run your operation at the same time, dealing with all these issues. So
not good.
Nope.
Well, you know, one of the things that all of us encounter, not so much are rail portages, but we all have to deal with boat ramps. We all have to deal with traffic. And, of course, we're in the heat of the summer. Everybody wants to go out on a weekend. And you end up in a scenario where suddenly you've got some jam-ups at the launch ramps. And I will say this. About a week ago, I encountered probably one of the most frustrating experiences of my life.
Really?
At a ramp.
Tell me more.
We had people that were parking on the entrance to this launch ramp, on the entryway. So they're parking on the side. So you barely had enough room to make it around a corner to get the boat launched. Well, then I attempt to launch the boat. I'm pulling the boat around. This is the launch part. Pull the boat around, get all the straps off. Everything's ready to go. I'm launching alone. My rope is ready to go. I'm putting my rope out. Everything's good. There's two or three behind me. I'm ready to rock and roll. Somebody decides that they're going to put their boat. Now, there's two ramps side by side. They pull both their boats up. There's room on both outsides of the ramp to park their boat. They park their boat
right
on
the
ramp side, close up. And then the other side, they did the same thing. Then they also tied up three kayaks on the inside as well in the launch ramp area. Entertainment value. I can't launch my boat. I have to wait till somebody else comes down, but nobody else can make it down because there's two other boats behind me waiting. Nobody could do anything. I can't go in the water. I have no access. The other guys can't get out of the way because they have no access. And the guy comes down with his trailer thinking he's going to go put his boat in the water or pull his boat out now that he's blocking. We can't do anything.
Well, somebody's going to have to move.
Eventually, I got out of my car and went to the guy with the trailer, and I said, you do realize that you shouldn't park your boat there. And he went, why not? I'm next in line. I said, no, you're not. And it proceeded to go where finally the other gentleman that were there said, you need to move your boat. Now, we can't launch. We'll launch. You then have access. So be aware of what's going on. Think ahead. Don't cause a problem at the ramp. It's simple for everybody. And it doesn't have to be a difficult scenario.
Get your boat ready way before you get to the ramp.
And if you're launching, do not put your boat in where the ramp is and put it tight to the dock. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple. Well, stay tuned, guys. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk a little bit about the Elite Series win, a century win. If you don't know what that is, I'll clue you in when we come back. Thanks for hanging out, everybody, and we, of course, hope you guys hang out on The Valley Outdoors, right, Don?
On TheValleyOutdoors.com, and check us out on Facebook as well.
Absolutely, and of course, we always want to encourage you guys. We've got the greatest promotion going on in the world, Fish With Us. That's going to be signing up on TheValleyOutdoors.com. That's going to be on the bottom section of the page. Sign up every day. Win a fantastic trip to Ashkenam Resort, beautiful Lake Cabotogama, and that whole northern tier. We're going to be fishing Namekin and Cabotogama and having an absolute blast. Last year was outstanding and just super fun, educational fun, and lots of good food and lots of good times.
Good fishing, too.
Yeah, it was good.
It was a hoot.
Once they gave you that special slip crawler harness.
Ah, yes. I'm not even going to ask you this year.
Oh, Don, I tie special tackle for my friends.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, you can sign up every day. That's the big thing. Do not let a great opportunity like this go away. The only thing you have to pay for is a license. And getting there, that's all you have to do. Super easy. And the guys I know that went last year absolutely had a blast. We've got photos somewhere, don't we?
Online.
Check out the photos. And lots of, we call it PBs. You know what a PB is?
A PB.
Personal best.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of personal bests. And we had a lot of fun with that as well. So keep that in mind. Sign up for Fish With Us on thevalleyoutdoors.com and sign up and have a fun time fishing with us.
Are you guaranteeing a PB if they fish with you?
No, I don't guarantee that.
Oh.
But it happened last trip, did it not?
Yes.
It did?
A couple times.
Yeah. I think 3 days we had PBs for guys.
Yeah.
We had one day that... One of the first days we didn't, but that was the seek and destroy type day where you got to figure out where they're at. So we'll have a little bit better understanding of that this year.
Sure.
So I'm looking forward to that. State record catfish, Don, out of Michigan. I know I like to bring these stories up because you're just a catfish kind of guy.
You know, the good thing about that is you've taught me everything I know about catfish.
And now you can't get away from it. New state record flathead catfish tops 53 pounds. That's from Lloyd Tanner. He's from Hobart, Indiana. He was fishing the St. Joe River in Michigan, and that happened on back in May. But it was verified that it was actually a record, and it went 48 inches long. That's just massive.
It's a four-footer.
Four-footer. He was fishing cut bait, and I don't know. That there's... When you get those big cats, you really wonder who hooked who, because they will tear you up something fierce. It's unbelievable. Previous record was 52 pounds. It was 46 inches long, caught in Niles. He was out of Niles. You caught that in Barron Lake in Cass County. His fish was verified by the Lake Michigan Basin Coordinator with the Michigan DNR. I've been fishing this Michigan for almost 30 years. What draws me to Michigan is fishing for big catfish. You don't really think they're known for big catfish.
You don't think
catfish
of Michigan when you're talking big
Absolutely.
Cats.
Absolutely. He said he usually comes there every weekend with his friends in the Michigan Catfish Anglers Trail, or MCATS, an amateur fishing club. We have several fun tournaments that anyone who enjoys catfishing can come out and fish, he said. So kind of a cool deal. That's my token catfish story for you, Don. We had to hit the Michigan folks.
Oh, Mr. Whiskers, yep.
Yep.
It's a big one.
Yeah, it is.
Have you ever caught one that big?
I actually had one probably that big.
Really?
I caught it on a jig, and I brought it up to the boat, and I thought this is funny, I'm pre-fishing for an NWT tournament, and I'm get it up to the boat. I'm like, all right, this is a big fish. I don't want to bring it in the boat, and I thought I could just reel the tip down and push
pull
it
the jig
back.
Out?
Well... I broke the rod tip 4 inches back. I pushed it. I thought I was going to get it out of the cat because it was in not the real meaty part of the fish. And I thought, all right.
It was in the bone, huh?
Yeah. I thought. Now I realize I thought.
The cat won.
Poorly.
Yeah.
I thought very poorly. It was not a good thing. Not
so
a
did
good
you just
thing.
Cut the line?
No, I just would have reached down with the pliers and pulled it off. That would have been easier. But it was the end of the day and I was getting lazy. That never happens, right?
Probably won't happen again that way, will it?
Oh, no. No, not a chance. Big story coming out of the Bassmaster Elite Series this last week. Jay Shakurit, and the reason I know Jay is I fished with his dad on the national, actually on the MWC circuit where we won the Masters Walleye World Walleye Championship in 2000, and that started out my fishing career. And his son, now... a elite champion going against the biggest dogs out there. He came out with the Century Club. I brought that up several times. Century Club, Don, you know what that is?
I do not.
Catching well over 100 pounds of smallmouth bass or largemouth bass, but in this case smallmouth bass, in a four days.
Okay.
Which is?
25 pounds a day average,
outside.
If my math is correct.
Exactly. And he did it with 102 pounds, 9 ounces. And that's a 4-day limit of 20 smallmouth bass. And that is insane. And
he was asked by many of the guys online and on the air if rookie Jay could get that done, and he definitely did, and it guaranteed him a Bassmaster Elite tournament win. And what's interesting is prior to this event, no angler in recorded sport fishing history had ever reached 100 pounds solely with smallmouth bass, ever. Ever.
Wow.
Rare stretch of calm, sunny weather and a good supermoon igniting the fish. He did just that. Everything lined up. It earned him a spot in the Bassmaster Century Club, which recognizes the four-day totals of 100 and earned him one of the most prestigious trophies in pro fishing and $100,000. What's unique about this is he's only 22 years old.
Where's he from?
Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Of the top 10, two are from the area in the Midwest. One is from Black Area, and then there's Jay. And Jay said when he was being interviewed, one of my goals was to beat the Johnston brothers, Corey and sixth place Chris. He said, they've been coming to my home waters of Sturgeon Bay and taking our money for years, so I had to come over here and take theirs for a time or two. Weighing 24 pounds two on the first on day three, extended his margin over the second place angler. He crossed the finish line with a final catch at 25.8, and he won by over 2 pounds, 4 ounces. Everybody wanted to know what he was catching him on. It was a drop shot. I don't know if you ever used drop shots, Don, but I used a green pumpkin, Strike King half shell, and a number two Gamagatsu finesse drop shot hook with a quarter ounce tungsten cylinder weight. So really the weight's at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mid hook tie, and basically you're really able to control that bait and the action of that bait that is on the bottom, so you can work it back and really work those fish well. It's a very, very, very effective technique. He did spend all 4 days on Lake Ontario, south of Chaumont Bay. Starting spot was the North Bank and in a post-spawn staging area, 15 to 20 feet of water. So this is where the deep water techniques come in, Don. Deep water techniques, obviously the walleye guys, we're not sight fishing fish. This is where you rely on your electronics. You rely on your technique and the faith that you are going to have those fish there and you're going to be able to catch them. So that is a big thing versus sight fishing and a big difference when it comes down to that. And interesting concept here was when the water went calm and the fishing pressure went up, it took a toll on his bite. He relocated to another post-spawn spot at 8 to 12 feet of water. And the difficult part was he only had 2 days of pre-fish.
Wow.
Which, that's the part that blew me away. So he had to absolutely settle on a spot that was off the charts right off the bat. And that carried him for 4 days to a consistent win. And that in itself was beyond crazy.
There's sometimes being in the right place at the right time.
That's exactly correct. Exactly right. He also became the youngest Elite Series champion ever. At 23, he's actually 23 years and 26 days old, previously held by Casey Ashley, who won in 2007 at 23 years, 4 months, and 9 days in his rookie year. He's also leading now for Rookie of the Year. So pretty doggone awesome. And
pretty
congrats
cool.
to Jay. What a great job. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So a lot of big things coming for him down the road.
It's good to see Midwest guys doing good.
No question about it. Hang tight. We'll be right back with more Valley Outdoors. Here's your chance to fish with us, the Valley Outdoors. It's simple to do. Register online at thevalleyoutdoors.com and wait for your name to be drawn. We're giving away a trip to four individuals that includes lodging in Ashkenham Resort in Ash River and fishing the waters of Cabotogama and Namekin Lakes. Join Don and I on this fabulous fishing trip September 17th through the 22nd. You can bring your own boat or fish with one of us. Plus, a walleye seminar and contests for prizes throughout the trip. Just register today at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Trip sponsored by The Valley Outdoors Radio and Ashkenham Resort. Get registered today to fish with us. Winner announced on August 20th on The Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Complete promotional rules available at thevalleyoutdoors.com. story, huh, Don? I mean, it's just amazing.
That is. I mean, it's very cool.
I just find it so difficult, to, you know, the two-day pre-fishing thing, because it was such brutal weather. I find it so hard. Any tournament you go to, 2 days of pre-fishing is nearly an impossibility to come up with bags like that. You just had to land on the right ones. And, of course, they were after it was post-spawn, and they were just hammering.
They were schooled
hammering,
up. Had to be.
Hammering that bait fish, and the bait fish just kept coming in.
I wonder if anybody tried to join him on his spot.
No. He was all alone.
Well, that's a key.
Pretty impressive.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if the fish kept going, he was very fortunate.
No, that, in my mind, pretty outstanding job. So what a great guy. So good kid. You could tell he was very emotional on stage. And of course, the times we've won a tournament, I've had the same feeling where it becomes this overwhelming, did I do what I just did? A. B, I've got to get in to make sure I can get these fish weighed. And one day it was really rough and difficult to come in. And I'm thinking, what happens if something goes wrong? What happens if all these things are going through your mind? And then the last part is you come into the harbor, then the hair in the back of your neck stands on end, and you realize you now have the potential to win a major tour event, and this is actually happening. This isn't just a dream. This isn't just, hey, I went out to go fishing and I caught a bunch of fish. You did it 3 days in a row, and you went out day one in whatever place. Day two, you're number one. Day three, you're number one. And when you come back in, you're like, boy, there's good sticks. I don't know. Did I really do this?
I hope I hold on.
Yep, exactly. And then the black bag comes up when you go away. When you're in the lead, they don't let you anybody else see the fish. So you're sitting in line. You're last in line. You're at the very end. They don't want anybody to see. You can't tell anybody what you caught, so nobody's supposed to know anything. And you've got your box of fish, and it's covered with a black bag, and then everybody weighs, and then they go in a hot seat, whoever's in the lead. And then, of course, this is day three, the accumulation of all three weights. You pull up. They put your fish in a bag. They keep them all so nobody can see them. And then you go up, and you pull them out one at a time, and you put it in the box. All right, you now have... It's 5 pounds, 10 ounces. They pick up another one. It's a small one. And I never forget that the MC says, they better get to growing if you plan on winning. And then I pulled up a 4.5 pounder and put it up there. And he's like, that's more like it. You know, they're swimming in the deal.
Sure.
They're a clear tank. And then he said, you need 2 pounds, 4 ounces. And I knew I had a good one. It was like 3.5, 4 pounds. And the other guy had some good fish. I pull him up, and then the crowd went wild, and I'm like,
I think
something
I got it.
Special is about to happen. And I put it in the tank, and then you immediately are looking at the scale. Your hair is on end. Your heart's going 400 miles an hour. Your co-angler's with you. He's got a chance to win, and you're sitting there, and you're like, this could be it.
Yep.
And I'm going against the best stick. He's in the lead. The best stick on that body of water. The guy's amazing. Garrick McCumsey was his name. And he rolls the scales, and I won by 2 pounds, and the crowd goes crazy. And I'm like, they throw the trophy at you immediately. You get out in front. And, you know, when you watch these events, it just really gets those competitive juices flowing where you really want to get back at it. And it's such a fun thing. So just... Yeah, there's nothing like it. If you've ever fished a fun tournament, you've ever gone onto it, the emotion is there regardless of how big that tournament is, and that feeling you never forget. So pretty cool. Pretty cool. Speaking of which, there was a recent tournament on Green Bay, part of Lake Michigan and Lower Lake Michigan, and there was a discussion of some of the Lake Michigan alewife die-off, but the funny part about it was on the Green Bay side, there was not much of a die-off, and you'll see when they were talking about the tournament, a lot of people had the effect that the fish were full, shall we say, and they had no need to eat, and it was difficult. Maybe, you know, and a couple guys found fish, but there was a lot of zeros from some of the best anglers out there, and a real difficult bite. But coming from Lake Michigan side of this, the alewife, that's one of the primary bait fish in the lake. They go from about 2 to 9 inches in length. They're experiencing a seasonal die-off. that is beyond anything that they've had in 20 to 60 years. They're not native to the Great Lakes. They migrated from the Atlantic Ocean into the Great Lakes through the Welland Canal in the 20s. They spend most of the year in a deep, cold water. Some of them come out in winter in a weakened state and don't tolerate changing conditions such as temperature swings, big swings. The combination of poor overwinter condition, temperature changes, and spawning stress caused the die-off. Larger than normal and things we have not seen in years, they said from the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. We're seeing a die-off extend from Muskegon all the way up to Cross Village and out into Beaver Island Complex. I'm telling you, Don, if you ever saw some of these things when they go die off, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I saw some of the photos from the weigh-in. It looks like some guys really got into some big fish.
And again, it's one of those things. You find a pocket where those fish are coming up to feed, and they haven't gotten done feeding. You hit them, and you can be done in a matter of 20 minutes, and you can have 35, 40 pounds. But if you're not finding that spot, you can turn into it. The struggle bus is real. You ride that struggle bus all the way to the end, and then it becomes a death troll till the weigh-in, and you go in, tail between your legs, and say, well, zero or hero, I know where I ended up in that one. So yeah, it always happens.
But it even happens to you guys.
Exactly, exactly. Well, another week goes by, Don. Yeah. Ava, thank you guys. Appreciate it. Thank you guys for listening. And we are going to be back next week, and we are going to have an amazing guest next week. We're going to have Greg Sharrow from Sharrow Propellers talk about one of the most innovative things in the marine industry, I think, in probably 20 to 30 years. So check it out. Check out us next week. See you. Bye.